Today's shiur is Masechta Nida Daf Lamed Beis, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph on the Beis at the new parak Benayis Kutim. A word of introduction. We've learned many times about the Kutim. The Kutim were a nation, and then when Sancherev came, Bilbel is Kalaylam Kuloi, he transferred people from one country to another country, so he transferred the Kutim to Eretz Yisrael. And when he transferred the Kutim to Eretz Yisrael, and they lived in the Shomron, Eretz Yisrael was essentially desolate. And because it was desolate, wild animals inhabited the country. And the Kutim became Gerim. There's no question that the impetus to the Kutim becoming Gerim was the fear that they had to the lions. But there's machlokes throughout Shas if the Kutim are Geri Emeth or Geri Arois. Arois with an Aleph. Is there Geris, a true Geris or not? And as the Chazanish explains, he says certainly the procedure of Geris that took place was the proper procedure of what is considered a valid Geris. The question is, given that their original intention for Geris was the sphere of the animals, so how does the halacha look at the geiris? Does the halacha look at it as a valid geiris, or does the halacha look at it as a disqualified geiris? So the Rishonim say that our Mishnah and Gemara that speak about the Kutim in today's shir clearly is following the opinion that Kutim Geri Emes, that they are Geri Emes, and now we speak about their status because of their lack of proper Torah knowledge. Furthermore, the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Chulin says that ultimately it was discovered that the Kutim were worshipping Avodah Zarah and were certainly not following the mitzvahs of the Torah, and they were, at that point later in history, they were certainly considered like Akum. But our Mishnah is speaking about the early generations of Kutim, and at that point they were considered Geri Emes. So says the Mishnah, Benois Kutim, Nidois Mary Sasson. From when they're born, we treat them like Nidois. There's an interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yoshev based on these words. We've discussed many times in our shiurim, and we still will discuss this concept in this Masechta, that the halacha is that a woman is not considered Tamei, not considered a Nida, unless she has a Hargosha. And the Paiskim, the Aruch HaShulchan discusses this, Ramosh and Digris Moshe discusses this, that many women don't have Hargosha, don't really have that Hargosha. We need to discuss what is the Hargosha, but don't necessarily have Hargosha before they have their period. And the question is, are they Tamei Midaraisa? Because if they never have Hargosha, perhaps they will never be Tamei Midaraisa, and it has other repercussions in Halacha. So Yoshev is Mechadish, that when is Hargosha required? Yoshev's Mechadish, that Hargosha is required by a woman that normally has a Hargosha. And now if she had a discharge without Hargosha, so she's not Tamei Midaraisa. But a woman who doesn't have Hargosha ever, so she doesn't have to have Hargosha to be Tamei. And his Raya is our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says that these young girls, the moment they are born, are considered needless. How can they be considered Nidus? They don't have Argosha. A day-old baby certainly doesn't have any Argosha. So how can you call her a Nida? The answer is that a woman who doesn't have the ability to have Argosha, like the baby of our Mishnah, doesn't need to have Argosha. Big Chiddush. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Vakut Metam Mishkav Tacht of Kelion. The halacha, as we will learn in this parak, is that a Nida is Metame Tamas Mishkav Moshev. That means anything she sits on that was made for sitting on becomes Tamei. And not only what she sits on, but the famous example that the Gemara always uses, if you have 10 mattresses and she sits on top of the top mattress, all 10 mattresses below are Tamas Mishkav Moshev, which is a very high level Tumah. The high level Tumah means that it's Av HaTumah, which is Metama, not only Oichlin HaMashkin, food and drink, It's matam adam v'kelim. People and vessels that come in contact also become tamei. Haboil as a kuti, as we learn, the kutim that have relations with their wives, who the Mishnah considers a nida, and we'll discuss this in a moment more, are considered nidais. These kutim that are who are boilei nidis, by them the halacha is that the mishkov that the boil nida sits on is not treated like the mishkov that a nida sits on, that I just said is an avatoma, but rather it's treated like the elyon, something that the nida carries. And the elyon of a nida is only considered a rishon latumah. And the primary difference between a rishon latumah and an avatumah is that a rishon latumah is only metama oichlin amashkim, food and drink. It's not metama odom v'kelim. So again, says the Mishnah, vakutim metama mishkiv tachtav ke'elyon, what they sit on is tomei like the elyon of a nida, because mepnei shem boilei nidis, all kutim are considered boilei nidis, shein yoshvois are called dam v'dam. The Taisus Yontov says that even though the Mishnah uses the word vihein, which would seem to be a new sentence, it actually should be read as shehein. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that why are all kutim considered like they had relations with a nida? Because if you recall, we learned earlier in our Masechta that there are four shades of red that are tamei. Other colors of discharge are actually not tamei. So now let's review a din that we've discussed many times. And of course, this is the din midaraisa. If a woman becomes a nida, midaraisa, she's tamei for 7 days no matter what. But midaraisa, if after 7 days she's no longer having any discharge, she has to go to the mikvah and she's fine. She doesn't have to wait zayin nikiyim. That's the din midaraisa. So now this woman who is a kuti and doesn't know the halacha has a discharge of a color that isn't really a nida. So let's say that discharge happens on day one. On day three, she has a discharge which is really tamei. So she's really tamei only starting day three. But because they don't know the halacha, they start counting on day one. And then when day seven comes, if she's no longer expressing any liquid, any discharge, she goes to the mikveh and she's good to go. But she isn't good to go. So that's why Chazal said that they're always treated like boyalei nidus. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. The Mishnah now introduced a new concept. Shein yoshvis are called dam v'dam. And we have therefore this problem. The question is, the Mishnah already began with the words benois kutim, nidus merisosim. That all benois kutim are considered nidus. So why did the Mishnah have to introduce this new concept now? Shein yoshvis are called dam v'dam. So I saw two terutzim in the Rishonim. One terutz the Rishonim say is that the first din of the Mishnah of benois kutim is speaking to young girls, not to adults. Now the Mishnah is addressing why adult kuti women are considered nidus. It's one terutz I saw. Another terutz is that let's say we'll have a kuti, a wife of a kuti, just went to the mikvah, and he has relations with them, with her then. So if the chashash is that she maybe didn't go to the mikvah, or she's maybe not tahor, here we don't have that concern. She just went to the mikvah. But if we now introduce the new concern, shein yoshvis are called dam v'dam, so she maybe went to the mikvah prematurely, and therefore they're always considered like they're boiling meters. The halacha is, we've discussed this many times, that a person who's tamei may not enter the Beis HaMikdash, or Kodesh. If he does, v'shogig, he brings the carbon oil of Yorid, but mezid is chayiv koros. But the halacha is not only that. The halacha is that somebody is not allowed to bring something which is tamei into the Beis HaMikdash. And if he does, v'shogig, he's chayiv chatos, but mezid is chayiv maybe koros, or malchus, machloikus. So here says the Mishnah, if somebody brings into the Beis HaMikdash something that was touched by this boil akuti, so we're not certain, as we just finished explaining, that she certainly was tamei, and that the item that he's bringing into the Beis HaMikdash is tamei. And therefore, v'ein chayoven al bi'is HaMikdash. We can't say that he's chay for bringing something tamei definitely into the Beis HaMikdash. And furthermore, as we've learned many times, if truma becomes tamei, it must be burnt. If it's not tamei, it may not be burnt. So now you have this truma. We can't be sure the status of the truma. Is it tamei or not? And therefore, if truma comes in contact with this type of item, ain't sofrim lanes a truma, mevnei she trumasin sofik. Now it's a sofik if they are indeed tamei or not. Says the Gemara. Hechidami, exactly what is the situation that our Mishnah is referring to? Idikochazian, if we know that these women saw dam, so what's the difference if it's a Kuti or a Jew? I feel the Donami should be the same halacha, that they ought to be considered a Nida. Vidaloikochazian, if on the other hand there was no Riyah, that it's who Nami loy. So why are we being so strict with the Benois Kutim? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Brei, Rav Ach Brei, Barafuna Amar Rav Sheshes, Hoch Bemai Skinen, Bestama. We don't know the status of this girl. The Kivin de Ikka Miutad Chazia, there is a certain small population that do indeed see Dam. Chashinan, that's why we have to be Chashish in every girl, Benois Kuti, that maybe she's a Nida. And says the Gemara, Uman Tana de Chayish Miuta, who's the Tana that's always concerned even for a unlikely minority? Remehi. It follows the opinion of Aramea. So Taisus points out that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, beginning of Masechet Shabbos, quotes the Yud Ches Dover. The 18 Gzeiris that Chazal, the both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agreed to, were instituted to separate us from the Kutim. And there's no machloikis that everybody agrees to those Gzeiris. And one of the Gzeiris is that the Kutim are considered nidus of us. So why is our Gemara looking for Aramea? And trying to say that our Mishnah only follows the opinion of Rameyah. So there are a number of opinions in the Mefarshim how to understand. One opinion in the Mefarshim is that originally it was only Rameyah who felt this way, because as we're about to learn, Rameyah is Chai Shlemiuta, and only later was this Xerah that everybody agreed to, that it has nothing to do with Chai Shlemiuta, it was made to separate us from the Kutim. That's the simplest way of learning. Another way of learning is that Rameyer himself, even though, as we're about to learn, is Chayish Lemiyuta, but the chances that a girl, as the Mishnah spoke about, who was just born and is a Nida, is very unlikely. So even Rameyer, who's Chayish Lemiyuta, has no reason to be Chayish over here, because it's so unlikely. And therefore, that's why Chazal had to come up with a new reason to separate us from them. A third pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that indeed there is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that teaches us the Yud Ches Dover. But clearly the Yud Ches Dover are only a Derabbanan. Our Mishnah is saying that according to Rameya, our Gemara, in explaining our Mishnah, whose Chayish L'miyuta is going to hold that the Benois Kutma Nidus Merisoson Midaraisa. Rameyi, the Tanya. The Gemara teaches us in Masechta Yevamos, where we know if a person, Rechman Tzlan, if a man dies without any children, his wife either gets married to one of his brothers, Yibam, or has Chalitza. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Kot Mektana, Lecholtzim V'lo Yivamim. The Kot Mektana, if either the man or the woman in this situation are a Kot or a Ktana, they're not candidates, not for Chalitza, nor for Yivam. Divremeya. Omle Remeya, so the Chacham said Remeya, Yofa Marta, we could agree with what you said, Shein Cholzim, that Chalitz is not done. Ish Kosov Harsha. The Torah says, Ish. The Torah says, Lo Yachbetz Ish, Lekachti. So it's a Gevaldig Ritva. The Ritva says that the Pasuk of Lo Yachbetz Ish, Lekachti is not a Pasuk by Chalitza. It's a Pasuk by Yibam. So how is everybody agreeing that a Kotn and a Ktana are excluded from Yibam, from Chalitza, from a pasuk that speaks about Yibam? So the Ritva answers as follows. The Torah uses the words Yavama Yava Aleha. The Torah says, Yavama Yava Aleha. Doesn't make a difference. Kotn or Ktana, Gadla or Gdaila. So obviously the pasuk of La Yachbet Ish Lekachta cannot be speaking about Yibam. Because Yibam, we already see another pasuk says that everybody is capable of doing Yibam. It must be that this pasuk is speaking about Chalitza. So, again, Amalei Ramei, the Chacham said to Ramei, Yofa Mata Shein Cholzen, we could agree with what you said, that they're not candidates for Chalitza. Ish Kosu B'Parasha. The Torah Kedesh uses the words Ish, or Makshina Ish Al Ish. And just like a man is not a candidate for Yibam, when he's a for Chalitza when he's a cotton, so too the woman. However, say the Rabbanim to Rabbi Meir, Umatam ein Yimiyavim, why are they excluded from doing Yibam? Amlehem. So he said, Cotton, Shemayim to Saris. Maybe the cotton turns out to be a Saris. Saris, as we learned, in Masechta Yevamos indeed, there are two types of Sarisim. There's a Saris Chama, which is a Saris that never was able to have children. There's a Saris that became a Saris later in life. Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar, which Saris is excluded. But the bottom line is, a Saris is excluded from Yibam, and therefore, says Rameya, maybe this man is a Saris. Ktana, Shematimtza Islandus, maybe this woman is an Islandus. Again, an Islandus is a woman who's unable to have children. Which means as follows. You can't have relations with your sister-in-law. Eshesach is an erva. Only the Makam Mitzvah of Yibum may you have relations. But here, she may be an islandess. Now, if she's an islandess, you're having relations with your sister-in-law when you're not allowed to. It's not a mitzvah. Therefore, Ramey says, even though it's unlikely that he's a Saris, it's unlikely she's an islandess, Ramey is Choshish Lemiyuta. And that's Ramey of our Mishnah. So the Rishonim ask, let's think about it. What are we concerned? We're concerned that maybe she's an islandess. So let's think about it. If she's an islandess, then the Kedushin his brother had with this woman were Kedusha Tos. He never intended to marry a woman that can't have children, so she's not a sister-in-law. So a monoshach. If she's not an islandess, so then she is a candidate for Yibam. If she's not an islandess, if she is an islandess, on the other hand, she was never really married to his brother, so why can't he marry her? So Rishonim say, the case could be that the husband married his wife saying, even if she's an islandess, I want to be married. Then it is a kedushin. Or, another variation of this answer, is that we're referring to a situation where we have to be concerned that even if the husband who passed away never knew that his wife was an islandess, but he married her and he would have remained with her even if he discovered that she was an islandess. The Rabbanan who disagree with Remeya, Zobas Roiva, we follow Roiv, the Ktanim. Roiv Ktanim lav Sarisim Ninu. Most men are not Sarisim. Zilbas Ruba the Ktanis, Roiv Ktanis lav Eilnis. Ask the Gemara, Eimed the Sham Lele Remeya, when does Remeya say there were Choshish to Miuta, Miuta the Shchiach? Something that possible or likely to happen. Ava Miuta the Shloshchiach, that a child should see Dam on the day that they're born. Do we see Ramey being choshish for that? So before we go further, I think I've said in Shurim previously, a beautiful vart. The predecessor to the Noida Yehuda, to the Rabbonis in Prague, I'm not even sure what his name was very ill. He was a geisus. And the community leaders came over to him as he was in this very weak situation, and they asked him, Who should be your successor? So he said, maybe Remeir. And then he passed away. And nobody knew what he meant. They didn't know who the Remeir he meant was. So they didn't know of any great Talmud Chacham who had the name Meir that he might have meant him. So they decided whoever will be able to explain what this Rav meant, he's the man that should get the job. And they interviewed many candidates, and nobody was able to answer. Until they interviewed the Noida Yehuda. The Noida Yehuda said, you know what he meant? You asked him who should be your successor. Because you were assuming that since he's a geisus, deathly ill, he's going to die. Because the Gemara says, Roiv geisin lemisa. But he said, Efshe Remeya, who says I'm going to die. Remeya is the man that says, V'choshish l'miyuta. I may be from the miyuta that will survive, and I don't need to have a successor. And that's how he got the job. Says the Gemara, so we're back to where we started. This is a miyuta lo shchiach. So even Remeya, who's choshish l'miyuta, ought not to be choshish over here. Answers the Gemara, ha'nami miyuta de shchiach. The case that our Mishnah speaks about, that the woman sees dam the day she's born, does happen. But Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Ma'aseh be'ein bo, v'tbilu kodem le'ima. There was a story where a girl was born, and she had to go, she was taken to the mikveh before her mother. And let's explain what this means. The girl was born, and she saw dam the day she was born. So after how many days does she be taken to the mikveh? 7 days. Her mother, as we finished learning in the previous parak, was the eldest of a girl. How many days does she have to wait? 14 days. So the girl ended up going to the mikveh before her mother. V'amar Rabbi, similarly, Maisa Beisharim with Bilu Kaidim Le'ima. V'amar Rabbi Yosef, Maisa Pambadis with Bilu Kaidim Le'ima. So as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara brings 3 stories that happened in 3 generations to show that this is something that could happen. Tysus asks a question, maybe she was taken to the mikveh because she came in contact with her mother, and the mother was Tamei because she was a Yeledis. So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is, if that was the reason she was taken to the mikveh, so there's nothing unique about these situations. Every child comes in contact with her mother. Furthermore, she wouldn't be an avatoma if she came in contact with Yeledis. And here it seems that she was an avatoma. So it must be because she was a nida. So now the Gemara goes off to a tangent for a moment. Bishlam and Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. By Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe, I could understand that these stories happen in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Bul, Beisharim, are cities in Eretz Yisrael, where there's an inyan of Tumim v'Tahara, v'Tbilua, Mishum Trumas Eretz Yisrael, that she shouldn't come in contact with Trumas Eretz Yisrael if she is Tumim. Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi, Lamali, the story of Rabbi Yossi, which took place in Pumbedisa, which is in Bavel, V'Amish Shmuel, hasn't Shmuel taught us, Ein Trumas Chutz Laretz Asura, there is no problem with Trumas Chutz Laretz, El b'misha tuma yoitz megufa. Only if the tuma goes out from the body. And, as Rashi explains, Shmuel makes one more point. V'hani mili b'achila. And even when we're machmer in Trumas Chutz Laretz, it's only b'achila. Ab negi aloi. So what do we worry about? That this child was a nida and will touch Trumas Chutz Laretz? There is no problem in touching Trumas Chutz Laretz. So Rishonim ask, from here it seems that there is a din of Trumas Chutz Laretz. But we know that the din of Truma is a mitzvah tlui baretz. It only is an Eretz Yisrael. So how are we having even a discussion on any level about Truma and Chutz Laretz? So one Taharas the Rishonim say is that there were certain Amoroim, there were machmer on Truma and Chutz Laretz. One Taharas I saw. Another Taharas is that it's a difference which country in Chutz Laretz. The countries in Chutz Laretz that are near Eretz Yisrael, where Eretz Yisrael is a chiyuv of Truma, the Raisa, they were machmer and Truma. Countries like where we are, far away from Eretz Yisrael, don't have to be machmer. A third teretz is that only when there was a din of Truma and Eretz Yisrael Medaraisa, did they institute to a certain level at least, as the Gemara just taught us, Truma and Chutz Laretz. But when the din of Truma and Eretz Yisrael may only be with Rabbanon, there's no reason to make Truma and Chutz Laretz. But the question is, we just learned that they took this girl to the mikveh. This baby to the mikveh, because she shouldn't come in contact with Truma and Chutz Laretz. But there is no issue of coming in contact with Truma's Chutz Laretz, even if you're Tamei. Answers the Gemara, Amma Mezutra, Loi Nitrucha, El Asaych Hashem Shal Truma. The reason that they had to take it to the mikveh was that they should be able to smear her with the oil of Truma. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, the Pasuk says, Lo Yichalu Es Kach B'nei Yisrael, Ashi Yirimu LaHashem, it's a Pasuk by Truma, to teach us, Le rabbis es asach ves ashaisa. To teach us that you may not smear yourself with the oil of Truma, nor may you drink the oil of Truma. Ask the Gemara, why do I need a pasuk to teach us that you're not allowed to drink Truma when you're Tamei? Shasa lamali kro, shti b'chlal achila. And just like you're not allowed to eat Truma when you're Tamei, you certainly may not drink Truma when you're Tamei. Le rabbis es asach kishaisa. To teach us that smearing yourself with the oil of Truma is in the same category as drinking liquid of Truma. V'bayis eim mahacha, the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'tava kamayim b'kirba u'kishemen b'atzmaisav. And therefore, from this pasuk, we see that smearing Truma is usur just like drinking Truma. So actually, this Gemara is a very interesting discussion here. Because here we see that Sicha is in the same category as Shtia, which opens up a question that the Rishonim already discussed. Are you allowed to smear yourself with something not kosher? You're not allowed to drink something not kosher. Are you allowed to smear yourself with something not kosher? If Al Gemara says Sicha k'Shtia, So Rabbeinu, to Machlokes Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says that the halacha that our Gemara just taught us is a halacha that's limited to Truma. It's a halacha that's limited to Truma. It has nothing to do with anything else. And Rabbeinu Tam says that even by Truma, it's only Midrabonim. And he says that's why the Gemara brings two Psukim, to show us that the Psukim are only in a Smachta. There are other Rishonim that say that by Truma it's a Din D'oraisa. Everywhere else it's not Osir. And there are Rishonim that say no. Our Gemara holds Sicha Kishtiya, and therefore, just like you're not allowed to drink something not kosher, you're not allowed to shmeis up with not kosher. Which opens up a very, very big question that the Paiskim all discuss. The Bi'ur Halacha already discusses this. May you shmear yourself with something not kosher? May you use soap? Particularly, soap used to be made out of animal fat. So could you shmear yourself with animal fat, soap, or made out of pig fat that's not kosher? So firstly, it seems that the Paiskim are pretty much in agreement that if the purpose of your sikh is not latinic, it's not for enjoyment, we could be more lenient. Furthermore, and again, it very much depends on the machlokes Rishonim I quoted, most Paiskim are of the opinion, and that's what the Bi'ur Halacha quotes, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says as well, that soap is pogam. You can't eat soap. So even if you'll say sikh kishtiya, there is no problem, something that's pogam. And therefore, since soap is pogam, you have no problem of sikh kishtiya. But the Bi'ur Halacha does quote a gra that says that there were people that were machmer that even on soap, which is pogam, not to use soap made out of material which is not kosher. The same question comes up with soap that has chumstig ingredients on Pesach. If we follow the opinion of most Paiskim that something that's pogam, there is no issue. So even if the soap has in it, the soap, the shampoo, the ointment, have in it ingredients that are chametz, it wouldn't make a difference. Because you don't say sikh kishtiya by something that's pogam. There are some, not most, very few paiskim that are machma. Ask the Gemara, if this is the concern, why don't we, if this is the concern that we have, that a girl can already have a riya the moment she's born, so why is this limited to Benois Kutin? Even by Jewish girl, by regular Jewish girls, we ought to have the same concern. Answers the Gemara. Anan the Darshinin, Isha v'Isha. We who learn the pasuk that teaches us that every woman, as soon as she has a riya, is tameh. V'kichazer, and if a girl has a discharge, we know to treat her like a nida. Chazal saw no reason to make a gzera. Inu, however, the kutim, the loy darshi ish v'isha, that don't learn it, isha v'isha, and they don't learn the din, that even a young girl could be subject to hilchas nida, and therefore the kichazian, even if they have this discharge, loy mafresh luhu, they don't treat the girl as a nida, therefore gozer rabban and chazal saw a reason to make a gzera. Ask the Gemara, what is this drasha that the Gemara is referring to? My Isha, the Isha that's being referred to, says the Gemara, the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Isha, Eli Eli Isha, I would only know that an adult woman is subject to Hilchas Nida. Tonight, this Basyam Echad Nida Menayin, how do we know that even a one-day-old girl is subject to Hilchas Nida? Tamaloima, the Isha. Says the Gemara, Alma, what do we see from this Braisa? That Kimar Bekra, Basyam Echad Marba. That the Torah HaKadosh is coming to teach us that even a one-day-old girl is subject to Hilchas Nida. V'minu, asked the Gemara, but there's another Braisa. Isha, Eli Eli Isha. That only a girl, only an adult woman is considered a woman that is could be party to a bia, to an intimate relationship. Tanoikis Bas Kimel Shan V'Yamechad. How do we know that once we have a girl who's 3 years old, is also Habi is considered a Bia. Tanoikis Bas Kimel Shan V'Yamechad L'Bia Minayan, that she is also a participant in a Bia, that's a Maisa Bia, Tamaloyma V'Isha. So, what is the Pasuk teaching us? Asked the Gemara. Is the Pasuk teaching us that even a one-day-old girl is subject to Hilchas Nida? Or is the Pasuk teaching us that a 3-year-old girl is considered a Bia? We have two different rushes. Amarava, Hilchas Aninu, one of these halachas is really a halach l'moshe m'sinai, and the fact that it was quoted, and the fact that the pasuk was quoted, v'smechinu rabbah na'akroi. Ask the Gemara, ha'ikro v'ha'yilchasa. So we just learned, as we said a second ago, two different halachas. That a one-day-old girl is subject to hilchas nida, and that a three-year-old girl is subject to being a biyah. One is halach l'moshe m'sinai, the pasuk is only in a smachta, and one is what we actually learned from the pasuk. So ask the Gemara, which is which? Ha'ikro v'ha'yilchasa. Says the Mar Ilay Mabas Yamecher Hilchasa, if you're going to say that the din, that a one-day-old girl is subject to Hilchas Nida, and Bas Shol Shonav Yamecher Kra, and the three-year-old girl's B is a Bia, it's difficult to say that, says the Gemara. Because Kra Stamaksiv, the Pasuk doesn't start differentiating about different ages of the girl, and because of this, says the Gemara, El Bas Gimel Shonav Yamecher, the din, that a three-year-old girl is subject to Bia Hilchasa, and the halacha that a bas yom echad is subject to Hilchas Nida, Kra. Ask the Gemara, Bermacha, the Hilchasa, if we're saying that this is what the pasuk, that we learned this from Hilchasa, halacha Moshe Mishinai, Kra Lamali, what do I need the pasuk to teach us? Lemute Ishmi Oidim. To teach us that a man who has a discharge of blood is not tamei. Nemuti ish mi'oidim. Ask the Gemara, v'hada tanya, ish, ein li'eli isha, bas yom l'ziva minayim. How do we know that a 10-day-old girl could be subject to ziva? And the Mefarshim explain, why does it have to be 10 days? Because we know, as we said, the first year of our Masechta, that a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. So you can't become a ziva, a woman cannot become a zava until 10 days. Why can't she become a zava until 10 days? First, she has the first discharge. The first discharge makes her into a nida. And as we said at the beginning of our shiur today, a nida is a nida for 7 days. Then to become a zava, a zava gedoyla, she has to have discharges for 3 days. 7 plus 3, equal 10. So says the Gemara, Bas Yod Yom L'Ziva Menayim, Tamalayim V'Isha. To teach us that even a girl that's 10 days old is subject to being a Zava. Ask the Gemara, but why do we have to have a special limud to teach us that a girl, a young girl even, could be a Zava, Ligma Menida? Why can't we learn it? That just like we finished learning now, that she could be subject to Hilchas Nida, she similarly could be subject to Hilchas Ziva. Answers the Gemara, Tzricha. We can't learn the halacha of Nida from Ziva. Dikas Rachmana ben Nida, had the Torah only taught us the halacha ben Nida, have a mean a Nida mishum de kechazi chad yoyma, as we just said a moment ago. A woman becomes a Nida even if she sees dam just once. Have a mean a Nida mishum de kechazoi chad yoyma, boil a mace of Zion. She already has to be treated like a full-fledged Nida. Av a Zoma, dikhazi chad yoyma. If a Zava only has a discharge on one day, so the halacha, as we've learned numerous times, is b'shmeres yoyim k'neged yoyim sagila. As long as she's clean the next day, she's fine. Eimeloi tzricha. Eimeloi. So maybe she, since the halacha of Ziva is more lenient than the halacha of Nida. Because a woman becomes a Nida with one Riyah. A Zava, she only becomes with 3 Riyas. So maybe I should be strict. I wouldn't say that she's subject to Hilchas Ziva. That's why Tzricha, we need a special pasuk for Ziva. So ask the Gemara, fine. I understand why you can't learn the halacha of Zava from Nida. But ask the Gemara, v'lichta rechmana b'zava. So the Torah should have told us that a girl who's 10 days old is subject to Hilchas Zava. By Nida. And why do we need a pasuk to teach us that she's subject to Hilchas Nida? For now you're Dana, and we'll understand that in Zava below Nida. And we just finished explaining, you can never become a Zava, a woman can never become a Zava if she wasn't a Nida first. Says Marana Chanam, you're right. It's enough for the Torah to teach us that the girl is subject to Hilchas Ziva. And once we say that she's subject to Hilchas Ziva, it's obvious that she's subject to Hilchas Nida. So we're back to where we started. So the pasuk that teaches us that she is subject to Hilchas Nida, we don't need anymore. El Kralomali, why do we need that pasuk? To teach us Lamute Ishmi Oidam. To teach us that the man, if he has a red discharge, doesn't a blood discharge, doesn't become tame. He only becomes tame with Shechva Zera or Ziva. And as the Rishonim point out, we're learning it from the word the Isha. And normally the word Vav is not a miut, it's a ribui. But here, since we have nothing else to do with the Pasuk, explain the Rishonim, when you have nothing else to do, we take a letter, which is normally a ribui, and we use it for miut. Says the Gemara, Hamiut is a chad zemna. But we already learned that, Allah, on top of the Amid. The first words of this Amid. Lamuti ishmi oidim. So why do I need two psukim to teach us the identical din that a red discharge doesn't make a man tamei? Answers the Gemara, Chad lamuti mishich v'zera, v'chad lamuti midam. And as the Mefarshim explained, one is that if a man saw, Rechmano Litzlan, because he's probably sick if this happens, red shech v'zera, he's not considered a balkeri. That's one halacha. And another halacha that we're learning here is that if a man saw blood, not shech v'zera, he had a discharge of blood, he's also not tamei. Chad lemuti mishech v'zera, v'chad lemuti midan. The Cain, says the Gemara furthermore, the Cain, just like we learned on Amud Aleph that a girl who's even one day old could become a Nida, says the Gemara, the same thing, a male that's even one day old could be a Balkeri, could be a Zof. The Kein L'inyin Zecharim. The Tanya, Ish Ish, Matam Eloim Ish Ish. Why does the Torah use the words Ish Ish? L'rabbis Tinik Ben Yoim Echad, Shematam B'ziv Diver Reb Yehuda. The Rishonim explain, what's the pshat in the limud? Ish ish is a ribui coming to teach us that he's subject to hilchis ziva. The Torah doesn't even have to teach us this. We don't need the ish ish. Because hareyu oimer, lezacha ulanakeva, are subject to ziva. And what the pasuk means to say, says Rabbi Shmuel, lezacha kashu, any male, zacher ben shugadol ben shukatan, whether he's adult or a child, l'nekeva koshi l'nekeva ben gdola ben ktana. Ask the Gemara if that's how we know that any age zacher is subject to hilchas ziva. Ask the Gemara on him, imkei matam alayma ish ish, what will he do with the words ish ish? Answers the Gemara, dibritari koshi m'nei adam. Alma, so from what we've just learned, two different sources, but the same point, Kimar b'kro ben yoyim echad b'marbi. The Torah does is teaching us that even a one-day-old boy is subject to hilchas ziva. V'mini, but ask the Gemara, we learned in another brisa, ish, ainli el ish, that only an adult male is, his bia is a bia. Ben teish shon v'yoyim echad minayim. How do we know that a boy who's 9 years old, bia is considered a bia? Tamaloima v'ish. Amar Rava, Hilchas Ninu, so similar test to what we learned in Amar Aleph. This is Allah L'mash M'sinai, that's Mechino HaKroi. Ask the Gemara, Hai Hilchas V'ai Kro, which is the one that we learn from Allah L'mash M'sinai, and which is that we learn from a Pasuk? Says the Gemara, Ilayim Ben Yoyim Echa Hilchasa, if we're going to say that the Halacha, that a one-day-old boy can be a Zav, or Ben Teish Shonim V'yoyim Echad, and that the halacha that a 9-year-old boy's bia is a bia, cross stomach sieve. The pasuk doesn't differentiate what age boy, and therefore says the Gemara, el ben teshon v'yom echad, the halacha that a 9-year-old boy's bia is a bia, that is the hilchasa. And the halacha that we learned, that a ben yom echad could be a zav, kro. Ask the Gemara, v'kimi achad the hilchasa hi, if we're saying that this is based on halacha l'moshim Sinai, kro lomeli, answers the Gemara, Namuti Ish Melubin, to tell us that a woman who has a discharge that looks like the male discharge, this white color, is not subject to, doesn't make her tummy. So the Rishonim ask, we learned, and we quoted this Gemara in today's shir even, that the Gemara earlier in our Masechta already taught us that there are only 4 colors that make a woman tummy. So obviously, Loivin is not one of those colors. So why would I need a pasuk to exclude her? So answer the Rishonim, that we would say that indeed all other colors are tamei. But loivin, white, that is tamei by a male, maybe we should learn the din of a woman from a man, that just like this is tamei by a man, it should be tamei by a woman as well. That's why we need a special pasuk to exclude it. Most achronim indicate that even though what we have throughout Shas, that when we learn shiurim, which are typically learned by Halach L'Mosh M'Sinai, those shiurim are said only by B'nai Yisrael, not by Akum. Most achronim, and I think the Rambam says it as well, say that this Halach L'Mosh M'Sinai that we're learning, that the bia of a 3-year-old girl or the bia of a 9-year-old boy is considered a halachic bia, is also by Akum as well. There is an interesting Minchas Chinuch that says that just like all other shiurim that are said based on Halach L'Mosh M'Sinai only apply to Yisrael, not to Akum, this Halach L'Mosh M'Sinai is the same. Ask the Gemara, Lomeli Lichtav Zacharim, Lomeli Lomichtav Nekevis, why do we need to teach us that a boy that's one day old could be a Zav, and that a girl who's one day old could be a Nida? Why do we have to have two separate Limudim? Lomeli Lomichtav Zacharim, Lomeli Lomichtav Nekevis, answer the Gemara, we have to have separate. Tzricha. Dikas Rachmana B'Zacharim, Mishum Demetama B'Riyas K'V'Yomim. The halacha is that a man becomes a Zav if he has 3 Riyas. That means if he has 3 Riyas, even in one day, he's already considered a Zav Gadol. 1 Riyah, he's Shemer Shem Yom Kenegi Yom. 2 Riyas, he needs Zayin Nekiyim. 3 Riyas, he needs Zayin Nekiyim and a carbon, even if those 3 Riyas in one day. A woman cannot, on the other hand, become a Zava unless she has those 3 Riyas in 3 separate days. Av Nekevis, Deloy Metamib Riyas K'Biyomim, you have to have separate days, Eimeloy. Vikas Rachmanim Nekevis, K'Mishim Metamib Ba'Oinis. If a woman has a discharge of Ziva, even if it was because of an outside stimulus, she ate, or she drank, or different things that we'll learn later in our Pasuk, Av Zacharim, that we're going to learn, don't become Zav. If there was an oinus, there was the outside stimulus. The loy matam of oinus, emeloy, should have different halachas. That's why we have to have a separate pasuk for a one-day-old boy. Tzricha, we need a separate pasuk for a one-day-old boy and one-day-old girl. So Rishonim point out that at this point of the Gemara, it seems that we can't learn the halacha of men from women and women from men because the Gemara just showed us that they have different rules. But the Rishonim ask, as we will still learn, Bezer Hashem, and Am Sechta, that sometimes we do learn the halacha of men for women and women for men. What are we going to do with our Gemara? So Rishonim say a very interesting pshat. They say, our Gemara is speaking about a person becoming Tamei, a one-day-old boy becoming Tamei, a one-day-old girl becoming Tamei. So there we can't learn the halacha of men from women, boys from girls from boys, because as the Gemara just explained, they have different rules. Whenever we find in the Gemara afterwards that we learned the halacha of men from women, it's not that they are becoming Tamei. They are Tamei. What is the halacha once they are Tamei? Then, once we're established that this man is Tamei or this woman is Tamei, there we can learn the halacha of men from women and women from men.